Greetings to all of you this afternoon in Jesus' name. I know the afternoon is a difficult time. Maybe a challenge for everyone to just go to sleep. I would encourage you, if you're struggling with drowsiness, don't be afraid to just stand up and turn around and sit down or whatever you need to do to remain alert. And could it be at times that we struggle with drowsiness because we're just focused in just a lot of different directions? Maybe sometimes just not that important directions. Like we heard, the need for you and I to focus on Christ. Open your Bible this afternoon to Judges chapter 15. And while you're turning there, I just love the old story about the Indian chief that just was constantly talking about the Lord. I mean, it came out. And one time, one of his friends said, "Why do you talk so much about the Lord? Why don't we just hear about that over and over again?" And the old chief, he didn't really answer that. He just started gathering up sticks and grass and he made a little circle of sticks and grass, and then he picked up a caterpillar and he put it right in the middle of that little ring of sticks and grass, and he reached down with a lighter and he lit it. And they stood there and they watched the caterpillar, and as that fire circled that caterpillar, the caterpillar tried to look for a way of escape. It went around looking for an escape route, and there was none. And as that fire advanced, the caterpillar raised its head like if it could have talked, it would have said, "My help's only going to have to come from above." And while the old Indian chief was standing there and watching this, and he just put his finger down, and that caterpillar climbed onto his finger, and he pulled the caterpillar to safety. And he said, "That is the reason that I continually talk about it, because that's an example of what my Savior has done for me. He reached down when I was hopelessly lost in a horrible pit, and I was trapped, and Christ reached in and rescued me." One of the reasons I like that story is because it depicts what Christ did. And I believe that we can study on identity until we're blue in the face. But unless that story, unless you can identify with your Lord doing that to you personally, there'll be limited results. And so as you think about that old Indian chief rescuing the caterpillar, can you relate to that on a personal level? Has Christ done that for you? And is He doing that? Is He continuing to rescue you and I from ourselves? I believe it's a beautiful privilege and an opportunity. As we continue our study in Samson, as we look at Samson identifies with the spirit of anger, in a lot of ways this is a sad story. And while we look at this account, while it's true that Samson's life contains flashes, you could say, of greatness, moments where we can catch little glimpses of what God really longed to do, what God intended for Samson's life, yet it seems many times that Samson's physical strength and his confidence in that arm of flesh, it just put a cap, you could say, on the spiritual potential that God had in mind for Samson. And as I think about that, I wonder if that's one of the reasons why God declares to you and I in Jeremiah 17:5, He says, "Cursed is the man or the woman that trusteth in the arm of flesh." That's kind of a paraphrase, but that's what He says. And so as we continue looking in Samson's life, I think that's an important question. Where is your confidence? Are you confident this afternoon in your abilities or your resources, your knowledge, whatever it is? Or do you realize that Christ is your hope alone? I would like to this afternoon read chapter 15 in Judges 15. And while I'm reading this passage, I'd like you to remember, as we think about, as you notice Samson's struggle with anger, I'd like you to remember that everyone here this afternoon will feel anger at one time or another in your life. It's a part of being human. If you're human, you will struggle at times with the emotion of anger. I believe it's significant that God instructs us in Ephesians 4:26, be angry and sin not. And so the moment that you and I feel the emotion of anger, we are in danger of sinning. I think that's important we understand that. When you are tempted with the emotion of anger, you are facing a temptation to sin. Ephesians 4:31 instructs us with these words, let all bitterness and wrath and anger be put away from you. And if you reflect in your life, and as I reflect on mine, I think we would agree this afternoon that often words that are spoken in anger reflect us more than they reflect the Spirit of God. Just replay in your mind a time where you gave your sibling, your coworker, your mom or your dad a little piece of your mind. Did it reflect the Spirit of God or did it reflect you in the flesh? Usually it's you in the flesh is what it looks like. Samson identifies with the spirit of anger. I'd like to read, maybe I'll just step back and in chapter 14. I know we read the last two verses last evening, but I'll read verse 19 and 20 in chapter 14, and then we'll read chapter 15. The Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ashkelon and slew 30 men of them, and took their spoil and gave change of garments unto them which expounded the riddle. And his anger was kindled, and he went up to his father's house. But Samson's wife was given to his companion, whom he had used as his friend. But it came to pass within it a while after, in the time of wheat harvest, that Samson visited his wife with a kid, and he said, I will go in to my wife into the chamber. But her father would not suffer him to go in. And her father said, I verily thought that thou hadst utterly hated her. Therefore I gave her to thy companion. Is not her younger sister fairer than she? Take her, I pray thee, instead of her. And Samson said concerning them, now shall I be more blameless than the Philistines, though I do them a displeasure. And Samson went and caught 300 foxes, and took firebrands and turned tail to tail, and put a firebrand in the midst between two tails. And when he had set the brands on fire, he let them go into the standing corn of the Philistines, and burn up both the shocks and also the standing corn, with the vineyards and olives. We have a lot of fire in California. This sounds like a really serious one. Samson did a successful job. Then the Philistines said, who hath done this? And they answered, Samson, the son-in-law of the Timnite, whom he had taken his wife and given her to his companion. And the Philistines came up and burnt her and her father with fire. Samson said unto them, though ye have done this, yet will I be avenged of you, and after that I will cease. And he smote them hip and thigh with a great slaughter. And he went down and dwelt in the top of the rock Edom. Then the Philistines went up and pitched in Judah and spread themselves in Lehi. And the men of Judah said, why are ye come up against us? And they answered, to bind Samson are we come, up to do to him as he had done to us. Then 3,000 men of Judah went to the top of the rock Edom and said to Samson, "Knowest thou not that the Philistines are rulers over us? What is this that thou hast done to us?" And he said unto them, "As they did unto me, so I have done unto them." And they said unto him, "We are come down to bind thee, that we may deliver thee into the hand of the Philistines." And Samson said unto them, "Swear unto me that ye will not fall upon me yourselves." And they spake unto him, saying, "No, but we will bind thee fast and deliver thee into their hand. But surely we will not kill thee." And they bound him with two new ropes and brought him up from the rock. And when he came unto Lehi, the Philistines shouted against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. And the cords that were upon his arms became as flax that was burnt with fire, and his bands loosed from off his hands. And he found a new jawbone of an ass, and put forth his hand and took it, and slew 1,000 men therewith. And Samson said, "With the jawbone of an ass, heaps upon heaps, with the jaw of an ass have I slain 1,000 men." And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking, that he cast away the jawbone out of his hand, and called that place Ramoth-Lehi. And he was sore athirst, and called on the Lord, and said, "Thou hast given this great deliverance into the hand of thy servant, and now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hand of the uncircumcised?" But God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw, and there came water thereout. And we had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Therefore he called the name thereof Enhakkari, which is in Lehi unto this day. And he judged Judah in the days of the Philistines 20 years. One of the things that stands out to me, I think it's important that we meditate on God's plan for Samson. You remember, we looked at that last night. God had this plan that he was going to use him in a mighty way to deliver his people. And I'd like you to just meditate momentarily on that plan, on God's plan that he would be a Nazarite from birth till death. And compare that with Samson's burning desire for this pagan woman. Do you see the conflict? We have God's plan, and then we have Samson's heart and his passion. And there's a principle that I'd like to draw from this. Is remember in your experience and mine, when the wrong fire is burning in our hearts, anger will be our response whenever we feel that fire is being threatened. Isn't that what Samson was struggling with? He had that fire burning in his heart for this woman of Timnath. And when he felt that threat was being threatened, he was angry. If you remember back in verse 8 in chapter 14, if you remember the purpose for Samson's visit, it says that he had gone there to take her. He was on the way to get his wife. And now we have the story unfolding like it is. Remember, as you think of Samson's response and going up to his father in verse 19 in anger. I mean, he's just like pouting like a little boy and going home to dad. Just madder and hops. Remember that anger always destroys your and my ability to think rationally, because of the distorted perspective it gives us. You can see it so clearly in Samson's experience. He had such a distorted perspective because of his anger. Isn't it also, as you think about Samson's anger, isn't it also true that anger blinds us to our sin, to our part? See, it was so clear how the Philistines were so wrong. It was so clear to Samson. But think about his sin. He was stepping completely outside of God's perfect will. But Samson, he lost sight of that because he was so angry about the failures with those around him. Remember, anger will blind you and I to our sin. And I was reminded of Proverbs 16:32. God says, reminds us, he that is slow to anger is better than the mighty. And he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. So as you, maybe as a young boy or girl, as when you read the story of Samson, maybe you wished that, you know, your arms would ripple like Samson's did. But God says, if you are slow to anger, you're stronger than Samson. Are we this afternoon, are we identifying with what God views as strength? Samson lost sight of that, didn't he? Another thing that stands out to me as I see Samson's response and throwing a fit in the context of trying to take his wife home is remember that the spirit of anger always strips us of the ability for meaningful relationships. It did for Samson, and friends, it will do the same for you and I. It will strip us of our ability for meaningful relationships. Remember in your experience and mine, whenever we use anger to turn the tide in our favor, you know, you can use anger to bring control. You can use the spirit of anger to intimidate. There's a lot of different tactics that you can use anger for. But when we use anger to turn the tide in our control, we will consistently destroy heart-level relationships. Think of that with your own siblings. If you have had an angry relationship with one of your siblings, you'll probably have a poor quality heart-level relationship. It just works that way. In Samson's experience, I've also been challenged with the simple principle that due to the nature of anger, the spirit of anger always escalates. You can just see it in this picture. It was an escalating tirade. And it's no different for you and I. Unless we are going to identify with dying to self and taking God's way, we'll experience the same thing that Samson experienced. You can apply that between peers, between your co-workers, between you and your parents, or maybe you and your church leaders. The spirit of anger always escalates. How is it with us this afternoon? I think it's an important question. As I meditated on Samson's blow up here in the end of chapter 14, verses 18 to 20, I'd like to just leave two observations with you. One of them is that I believe that Samson thought that being a victim obligated others to help him to get his way. Can you relate to that? Think of the times in your life where you felt like a victim. Isn't it true that often if we see ourselves as a victim, we feel that others are obligated to help us to get our way? And I believe that that's true because the mentality of a victim is always self-centered. It's that way. If you view yourself as a victim this afternoon, you are a very self-centered person. And I'm just so blessed with Paul's testimony. In 1 Timothy 1:15, he says that Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You know, there have been a lot of reasons that Paul could have felt like he was a victim. I mean, he was rejected by the elite Pharisees, and he poured himself out for the church and on and on. And yet he was many times misunderstood. But Paul said, as he reflected on his life, no, I'm a chief sinner. Are you this afternoon, are you a victim? Are you a sinner being saved by grace? There'll be a big difference in your focus. I believe also, and the second observation as I look at Samson's blow up or his tirade here, is remember that it was Samson's wounded pride that produced that continual fountain of anger. I believe that this principle will be more obvious as we look further at this account. But how is it with us? Do we have a wounded pride? Do we have a prideful heart that feels crushed by life and by circumstances or maybe by peers? And is it producing a continual fountain of anger? It did in Samson's experience. And unless we are going to identify with Christ, evil one will like to do the same for each of us here. I noticed also in verse 20, as Samson went home, just infuriated with life. Verse 20 says that Samson's wife was given to his companion. Now, Scripture isn't real clear. There's some people that feel that actually Samson's wife was given to his best man in his wedding. Well, that'd be let down, wouldn't it? But I'd like to remind you this afternoon that anger will always cost us more than we can afford. It did with Samson, and it will for you and I too. His wife, given to his best man. And it reminds me what God recorded in James 1:20. It says, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." I think we should be convinced of that. The wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. It was true in Samson's experience, and it'd be true in ours also. And so our chapter 15 opens up with Samson coming to see his wife with his kid. It seems like he's coming to try and make up. He's coming with a peace offering. Samson's coming to see whether he can patch things together. Instead of him already building a relationship with his wife, he's coming back with the patching tools. Remember that the spirit of anger will leave us stranded in the patching mode. You will be left set. You or I, any of us here, if we allow the spirit of anger to reign, we will be busy patching relationships. You can apply that in a home, in a church, wherever it is. Many times, the spirit of anger, and you can see it here in Samson, the spirit of anger will empty us of the strength we need to build and to deepen and to strengthen relationships. So in your life, do you spend most of your energy patching? Or with God's help, are you deepening relationships? Samson was left set to patch. The spirit of anger will leave us there. Moving on. Isn't it almost confusing, or it's intriguing, to try and figure out Samson's father-in-law's thought patterns here. So Samson comes back to try and make up with his wife, and her dad says, "I just thought you just hated her. I mean, I married her off. Why aren't her sister's even better looking? Maybe you should try her." What is wrong with him? Remember this afternoon that the spirit of anger will always leave our loved ones confused and uncertain about how to respond. You can see it in Samson's father-in-law. He wasn't sure what to do, so he did what he looked best to him. He just married her off to Samson's best man. And you can kind of sense Samson's father-in-law kind of wringing his hands. Well, I'm not sure what to do. So that's what I did. We have a picture of Samson's father-in-law just trying to make the best of being caught right in the middle of that spirit of anger. Does your family, your church family, your home family, have they experienced that? Caught in the middle of, I don't know what to do. But he's mad again. Or she's mad again. Maybe a challenging question to help us to reflect in our own life. We talked about Samson's father-in-law and his response seemed to be like, what were you thinking? Do your siblings, do your parents, do your youth peers, do their responses sometimes seem off the wall? Like, what are they thinking? Well, my question, I think an important question is, are they living under the spirit of anger like Samson's father-in-law was? And they're just not sure what to do next. Is your spirit of anger, is it pushing your younger siblings? Or your peer who is struggling in his walk or struggling in her walk, is it pushing them away from God? I believe it's a serious question. Samson identifies with the spirit of anger. And I believe it's a call for us to identify clearly with Christ and with that the way of dying to self. And so that Christ can have His way in every heart here. Notice, moving on, in verse 4 and 5 in chapter 15. We have a real fire going. Isn't it interesting that the spirit of anger first burnt in Samson's heart, but it didn't stay there? It came out, and he soon was burning the whole valley up. And you know, it's no different for you and I. We can bottle it up for a while, but in time, if the fire, the spirit of anger is burning in here, it'll come out. Stop and think about Samson. Think about, why did he come in this section of the story? What did Samson long for? It's merely his wife. He came for his wife. But till it was over, he had burnt from Eugene the whole way to Salem. Now, I don't know how big that valley was, but you get the point. As far as from the Philistines' example, from in their life, that's how they viewed it. He burned up the valley. He came to try and be reunited with his wife. And ended up like this. And I think it's important that you understand, that we understand together, that the self-preservation that results from that spirit of anger, it will always blind us to responses that will bring God's presence. Samson needed God's presence. Unfortunately, he wasn't really walking with God right now. But he really needed God's presence. But he was blinded to the responses that would bring God's presence. Think about that in your life. The spirit of anger will blind us to responses that will invite God to come. How we need God's presence in relationships that are strained to bring the healing balm of Gilead, to build bridges, to bring hope. Remember, the spirit of anger will always destroy that. Yes, in your heart and mind, at times the spirit of anger are always, we could say, it will always close our heart to His healing. The spirit of anger will close your heart and mind to the healing that God longs to bring. I also noticed here in verse 5 and 6, you remember back earlier in chapter 14, Samson's wife tricked him to avoid being burnt by fire? Remember, they came to Samson's wife and said, you tell us the riddle you get it out of Samson, or we're going to burn you and your father. And so she tricks Samson to save herself. But sadly, here in chapter 15, she suffered the fate anyway. I'd like to remind you of the important principle that the spirit of anger will make you untrustworthy. It did here. Her own people proved very untrustworthy because they were angry. They had lost so much. Obviously, the promises of angry people cannot be trusted. That's true in this story, but it's true for you and I too. When we are angry, we're untrustworthy. I notice also in this story that the spirit of anger, we could say, is the parent of the spirit of revenge. And you see that revenge that's coming out here. In verse 6, remember this afternoon that the spirit of anger is cruel and will never be satisfied. It'll never be satisfied. You could say it will never be pacified merely with threats. Remember, we talked about them threatening Samson's wife. Here they actually burnt her. Oh, that God would help us to see that in our life it's no different. The spirit of anger is cruel. It is. If you are being governed by the spirit of anger, there will be a cruelty that will come out of your experience. And I believe it's important to remember that angry people, if we are angry this afternoon, we many times will tend to minimize the destructive nature of our anger. It's just how we are. We will tend to minimize the destructive nature of our anger. And yes, many times, the innocent suffer under the spirit of revenge. It happened here, didn't it? I noticed also, moving on to verse 10 and 11, we have the Philistines in verse 10 coming up to the children of Israel. They came to Judah, and the men of Judah said, "Why are you coming up here?" And they said, "We're coming up for Samson, because we want to do to him just what he did to us." So the men of Judah went and found Samson hiding out in the rock of Edom. And they said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Oh, I just did to them exactly what they did to me." Do you see that? Isn't that ironic? Oh, that's human nature. Remember, the spirit of revenge will never be satisfied. First, they felt justified, but Samson also felt justified. It reminds me of the account I read one time about Mrs. Smith. She's bitten by a dog with rabies, and the doctor checked her out, and he said, "Sorry, madam, but you had better prepare to die." And so he gave her a paper, and he said, "Your time is coming to an end. You better write your last will and testament on this paper." And Mrs. Smith, she got that pen and paper and she just went to write. And she was writing and writing. And finally, the doctor said, "Wow, that's a long will, Mrs. Smith." And Mrs. Smith retorted and she said, "No, I'm just making a list of people I'm going to bite." See, the spirit of revenge is never satisfied. It was that way in this story. It was that way for Mrs. Smith, and it'll be that way for you and I too. Never satisfied. And I believe that's one of the reasons why God reminds us in Romans 12:19, He says, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay." Samson missed that, didn't he? And for you and I, if the spirit of anger is reigning in our hearts, we'll really struggle with that because we'll feel like, "No, I'm gonna settle the score." How is it with you? How is it with me in our relationships? Is there evidence of the spirit of anger? Are we allowing God to be God? Jesus said in Matthew 5:9, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. I believe it's a beautiful opportunity that you have this afternoon to identify with the greatest peacekeeping force in the world, becoming a child of God. Someone said that Christians are the most forgiven people on the planet. It means we should also be the most forgiving people. How is that working out in your experience and mine? Are you a forgiving person? I believe if you have identified with Christ and you have received His forgiveness, then you should be empowered to be a forgiving person. I believe that gets so practical in just in everyday life. The blending and the forgiveness that's needed in just in life's little tiffs, maybe in your home or in the youth group or wherever you find yourself. Is it obvious as you go through those relational challenges, is it obvious this afternoon that you are a peacemaker? Or would those around you conclude that you, like Mrs. Smith, have been bitten by the spirit of revenge? And your goal is to bite others. I was also sobered in verse 12 and 13. I think we should just stop and think for a moment. What were they actually doing? God had... He had sent Samson to deliver them from the Philistines. And here, in verse 12 and 13, they're actually turning over their deliverer to their enemy. Strange. The deliverer that God had provided, we have God's people delivering him over to the Philistines. Why would they do that? Well, one of the reasons was, notice back in verse 11, when they came to Samson, they said, "What is this that thou hast done unto us?" You see, they didn't feel it was their fault. Remember, with spirit of anger always helps us, it blinds us to our sin, and we just see others' sin. I see it there. Yes, Samson was in the wrong, but God's people were doing whatever was right in their own eyes. Remember, we read that last evening. They did whatever seemed right in their own eyes. It's God's people that were in sin. But they were turning over their deliverer because it's not our fault. How God's heart must have broke. And I believe it's the same for you and I today. And I see a pattern of humanity. You think about here in this account, they're turning over their deliverer. Think about the gospel, what we heard about tonight and this afternoon in the opening, about our Savior. And they were screaming, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." It's humanity turning over their deliverer. Remember, Jesus invites us in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, "Come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden." And you know, we can read that invitation, and you've heard that invitation ever since you've been 2 years old or three. And you may say today, "Me? Oh, no way, I'm not yoking up with Him. I have way too many things I'd like to do." And we could continue that pattern that humanity has developed of saying, of delivering their, turning over their deliverer. Remember this afternoon that self is so blinding that outside of a full surrender to God, you and I will consistently reject the deliverer that God has provided. Rejecting the deliverer that God has provided. What a sad story. Moving on. I was also challenged in verse 14 and 15. Here we have, in the middle of Samson's sin, we have yet God still reaching out in His mercy and using him. And when his fellow Israelites turned him over to the Philistines, and the Philistines gave that war whoop, why it says the Spirit of God came upon him mightily, and there was a great slaughter. And this afternoon, I think it's important that we understand that this victory that Samson experienced, it was not in the weapon. I mean, he just grabbed some of the donkey's dentures and he killed 1,000 men. Can you fathom that? No, it wasn't in the weapon. It wasn't in Samson's arm either. He was strong, but not that strong. But it was rather in the Spirit of the Lord. And I think as you and I face the challenges of life, it's so important that we understand that that same Spirit is available today to empower us. Victory not in the weapon, not in his arm, but in the Spirit of the living God. And I'm so blessed. Here they had Samson all tied up in verse 14. But when the Spirit of God came upon him, it says that the flax, the ropes that they had used, they became like flax that's burnt with fire and his bands loosed from off his hands. That word loosed is an interesting word. In the Hebrew, it means melted. So these ropes just like melted off of him. And this afternoon, friends, that's a beautiful word picture of what the Spirit of God is able to do in your heart and mine. When spiritually we surrender to Him, those bands, those ropes, that spirit of anger that has bound us for years, the Spirit of God is able to melt those ropes off. I wonder if that's why Paul's testimony in Philippians 4:13 was, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. What a promise. As we face those temptations of anger, let's remember that. The Spirit of God, who empowered Samson to this wonderful victory, is available to empower you and I also. I'd like to also yet notice with you verse 16. In light of this great victory, do you notice Samson's song of victory in verse 16? With the jawbone of an ass. You know, our response this afternoon to success speaks volumes about our character. And I can't help but notice that in Samson's statement here in verse 16, there's not one word about God. There was no credit to the Spirit of God and the divine empowerment that Samson received. Where was Samson's heart to bring glory to God? God was his protection. God was his power. Where was that heart? Where was Samson's heart to bring glory to God? I believe there's a challenge in this little detail for us. Remember this afternoon that proud people rarely worship. Because worship always flows from a heart of humility. How is it with you? How is it with me? Is there a heart of worship that's flowing tonight or this afternoon? Or has the fountain of pride dried up, that fountain of worship? Where do you live this afternoon? Has pride reserved worship and praise for times of difficulty? You know what I mean? When you're in a jam. You see that in verse 18 after this wonderful victory. And then in verse 18, Samson, he was so thirsty he thought he was going to die. And so he said, he called on the Lord. He said, God, you're going to have to help me. I'm going to die of thirst. It seems like his prayer, his worship, the prayer of worship was reserved for the difficult times rather than a spontaneous worship to his great God. And I'm sobered by a simple verse like Proverbs 29, verse 23. God declares that a man's pride, and we could say a woman's pride too, a man's pride shall bring him low. And as we look into chapter 16, tomorrow morning, Lord willing, we will see Samson walk into the trap of Delilah. And we will see how he was brought very low. And this afternoon, I think it's important that we recognize that you and I will be no exception. God declares that a man's pride will bring him low. And many times, isn't it true that the reason we struggle with that spirit of anger is because one of the reasons is we have that heart of pride. And if someone made us look a little silly, anger is the first thing that comes. In conclusion, I'd like to leave a story with you. I'd like to read this little story of Captain Marco. What is it? Soviet Captain Marco snarled at the young boy. What do you want? The boy, only 12, swallowed his fear as he stood before the communist officer. Captain, you are the man who put my parents in prison. Today is my mother's birthday, and I always buy her a flower for her birthday. Since my mother taught me to love my enemies and to reward evil with good, I have brought the flower instead for the mother of your children. Please take it home to your wife tonight and tell her about my love and the love of Christ. Captain Marco, who had watched unmoved as Christians had been unmercifully beaten and tortured, was stunned at the act of love of this boy. His tears fell as he slowly walked around the desk and grabbed the boy in a fatherly embrace. Marco's heart was changed by the gift of Christ's love. He no longer could arrest and torture Christians, and soon he himself was arrested. Only months after the boy's visit to his office, Marco slumped in a filthy prison cell surrounded by some of the same Christians he had previously arrested and tortured. He tearfully told his cellmates of the young boy and the simple gift of a flower. He considered it an honor to share a cell with those he had previously hunted and attacked. I would just like to leave the question with you. And the challenge for me also is, are you identifying with the spirit of anger or with God's everlasting love? And in that story, do you see how that spirit of anger that was just motivating Marco, do you see how it just melted when it was introduced to God's everlasting love? And I just wonder what that would look like. If more of God's fountain of love would be splashed out on our homes and our young people and our middle-aged men and all of us together, how could it change our brotherhoods, our homes, our communities? God bless you as you choose to identify with God's love rather than the spirit of anger. God bless all of you.